I want to remind you of what the Spirit of God spoke to us about 2012, back at the beginning of the year. I hope you're still holding on to that. Yes. All right, amen. I want to remind you what He said. What is God saying for 2012? I believe as you look back at the end of this year, you will indeed be able to say with the psalmist, Psalm 126, 2 and 3, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." Now, that word began to stir in my heart, actually, with a Christmas and New Year's combination card that we received from some of our relatives. And it said this, this card, they'd handwritten it. It wasn't printed on the card, they'd handwritten it. I don't know if they sent it just to us, that handwritten note. I'm assuming they did. But it said, "We pray you look back at 2012 and laugh out loud at God's overwhelming goodness to you, to your entire family." Praise God. Then along with that, Brother Randy Greer, at the beginning of the year, he said, "I was praying Sunday, January 8th, 2012, when the Lord began to reveal to me scriptures out of the book of Joel chapter 2. I had a spiritual sense of victory, success, and prosperity like I have not sensed in several years. I was leading a group of people in prayer when this happened. I returned to my hotel room afterwards, and the spirit of joy and great victory came upon me. I found myself dancing in the Spirit and praising God for His goodness. Your day, time, and season of victory is upon you. Yes. Praise and glorify the Lord with a heart filled with faith." Amen. And then Psalm 126, 4 and 6 out of the Message, "And now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hoorahs at the harvest, so those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing." Hallelujah. I want to remind you of that. That's your destiny for 2012. That's what God has planned for you in 2012, and you need to hold on to that. And to hold on to that, it takes bold faith. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is bold faith. So go with me to the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I want to talk to you about bold faith this morning. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20. It says, "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word." We would say today, crickets. "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God.' So all the people answered and said, 'It is well spoken.'" So, give you a little background here. The nation of Israel was in a backslidden condition at this time under the leadership of wicked King Ahab and his even wickeder wife, Jezebel. There were 450 prophets of Baal at that time. Baal was a false god that Israel had strayed away from the true God and began worshiping Baal. And Elijah was seemingly, he thought at the time, the only prophet of God left, the only one left serving God. Later on, God revealed to him, He said, "I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal." But yet, when you think of the whole nation, and there's only 7,000 left that are serving God, and the rest of the nation's following Baal, that's a pretty bad situation, isn't it? So, a little more background, Baal, if you want to know more about this god that they were worshiping that they called Baal, Baal was the half-bull, half-man god of fertility, and he was the focal point of pagan idolatry in this area of the world until God revealed that his character and nature to Abraham and his descendants, the Jews. The principal pillars of Baalism or Baal worship were child sacrifice, sexual immorality, and pantheism, reverence for the creation rather than the creator. And the people would gather around the altar of Baal. They would burn their infants alive as a sacrifice. They would engage in sexual immorality as part of their worship. And the ritual, this ritual was intended to produce economic prosperity by prompting Baal to bring rain for the fertility of Mother Earth. That's what they were doing. That's what Baal worship was all about. And that's what was going on. Now, it had not rained in Israel for 3.5 years by the word of the Lord through the prophet Elijah. What was that? Well, that was a judgment on Baal and the worshipers of Baal. Their rituals were not accomplishing much. Right? Baal was also known as the god of fire, or more accurately, thunder and lightning, because that would accompany the rain, obviously. And so Elijah had bold faith, praise God. Elijah had bold faith to challenge the prophets of Baal. He said, all right, he said, if Baal is God, then we'll serve him. But if the Lord is God, let's serve him. Let's not go back and forth. I mean, make up your mind. He challenged the people of Israel. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. You know, that's a good word for us today. I mean, if you want to follow the devil, then go after him. See where he gets you. But if you want to follow God, let's follow him with all our heart. Let's follow him fully. Let's follow him wholeheartedly. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so Elijah knew who the real God was. He knew the true and living God. And when you know God, you can have bold faith. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we read on here in chapter 18, verse 25, it says, now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. They thought that might work. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. I think the Living Bible says maybe he went to the bathroom. So they cried aloud and cut themselves. Notice what the devil leads you to do. See, that's not new. Baal worship, you know, that spirit. See, was there actually a god that was? No. We read it, and when we took communion, Paul said, an idol is not anything. What are we saying, that an idol is anything? No, an idol is not anything. But he said the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. There was a demon spirit behind Baal and behind Baal worship. There's a demon, and that demon spirit is, you know, they're still here on the earth. They still motivate people to do those things. Amen? And so so Elijah challenged them, and then these demons moved on these folks as part of their worship. They would cut themselves, like the devil moves on kids today to cut themselves. So he says, so they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday, aren't you glad that we don't have to serve God like that? And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. See, with the devil, there's no voice, there's no answer, and no one pays attention. But with our God, there's a voice. He speaks to us. With our God, there's an answer. He answers our prayers. With our God, He pays attention. He loves us. He cares for us. The psalmist said in Psalm 8, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? Hallelujah. God is mindful of us. He visits us. Hallelujah. He pays attention to us. Amen? Amen. Verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots." These are about 30 gallons apiece. "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice." So that's 120 gallons of water. Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. So that's 240 gallons. And he said, "Do it a third time." So they did it a third time. That's 360 gallons of water. That's nearly as much as we got in this baptistry here. I don't know, probably more than that in the baptistry, but well, that's still a lot of water, isn't it? Or, no, that might be about the same amount. And so so the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. All right? One thing about bold faith does not try to help God out. Bold faith lets God be God. If you and I are just operating in weak faith or timid faith, we'll try to help God out because we don't really believe He can do it. But bold faith believes that God can be God. Hallelujah. We need some folks with bold faith today. Hallelujah. We need to step out with bold faith today. Amen? Elijah had bold faith in this. He said, we're the God that answers by fire. He is God. We're just going to make sure it's God. We're going to make sure we're not trying to help God out. We don't need to perform any tricks here. Soak the thing down with water. Amen. Only God would be able to light the fire of it then. Yeah. Amen? Wow. Hallelujah. Verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.'" Elijah prayed a bold prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Now, the results of bold faith will not only bless your life, but will turn other people back to God as well. That's why we need people with bold faith today. We need bold faith to receive what God has for us. But if you step out in bold faith, you'll turn other people to God too. And that's what our nation needs. It needs Christians to rise up and be bold in faith. Amen? Hallelujah. So he did that. And so look at what happened here in verse number 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone." That's some fire. It burned up the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Woo! That's fire from heaven, folks. "Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it took that. God was waiting for someone to step out in bold faith. And Elijah did just that. Amen. Hallelujah. God is waiting today for us, for you and me, to step out in bold faith, for the world to see what He can do. Amen. 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 I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, verse 41. Let's go to verse 41. "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" So there hadn't rained for 3.5 years. The nation had been serving Baal, and they'd been going through their Baal worship and their Baal rituals to try to bring rain, and there'd been no rain for 3.5 years. God was moving on Elijah and working through Elijah. He said, "I want to show the people who the real God is and that I'm going to bring rain." Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. So Elijah heard on the inside of him the sound of abundance of rain before he saw any physical proof. Hallelujah. Bold faith, write this down if you're taking notes. Bold faith walks by what God is saying to you in your spirit, regardless of the outward circumstances. There was no sign of rain. I mean, if it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, I mean, you just get depressed about that. By that time, you're thinking, there's never going to be any rain. Isn't that right? You know, isn't that the way, you know, I pray that we have, rains all through the spring. But you ever, in 2000, what was it, 2007 that we had that drought? I mean, you just lost hope that it would ever rain again. I forgot what rain looked like, didn't you? I mean, it's just oppressive. You know, when everything's drying up and withering around you. So there's no sign that anything's gotten any better. And Elijah said, I hear something on the inside of me. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Do you hear anything on the inside of you? Has God spoken to you? Has God promised you anything? Has God given you a hope on the inside, an expectation on the inside of what He wants to do? Follow after that. Go with that. Hold on to that. Step out in bold faith with what's on the inside of you, regardless of what the circumstances look like. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Elijah then began to pray based on what he heard in his heart. Hallelujah. It looked like nothing was happening, but bold faith is also persistent faith. Bold faith is also persistent faith. Hallelujah. So verse 41, so Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah knew it wouldn't do any good for him to pray. This might as well go eat lunch while I go pray, he said. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And then he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. He's praying. Verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Hallelujah. He wasn't hoping, oh, please let there be something. He had bold faith. What do you mean there's nothing? Go again. You didn't see it right. There's got to be something. Go again. So he went again. Seven times he came back. And then it came to pass, verse 44, the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. That's not much, is it? That was enough, though. That was enough for bold faith. So Elijah said, get up, go up and say to Ahab, you better get down. He said, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black from a cloud the size of a man's hand to the whole sky becoming black. Hallelujah. Because one man decided to step out with bold faith. Amen. The sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. There was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Look at this now, verse 46. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now what? Ahab is the king. Ahab has a chariot. And Ahab has the best, don't you think the king would have the best horses? I mean, he's not got the old gray mare pulling, you know, his chariot. He's got the best horses in the country pulling his chariot. And the Spirit of God comes upon Elijah and he outruns Ahab. You know, Ahab takes off in the chariot and drives the 25 miles through the valley to Jezreel. And he gets there, and when he gets into town, Elijah's standing there looking at his watch saying, what took you so long? Hallelujah. Bold faith, get this, bold faith will enable you to do supernaturally what you could not do in your own ability. Now, you might not need to run. Brother Carl's believing for this spirit to come on him the next time he runs. See, that's just about a marathon. 25 miles, 26.2 is a marathon. So that's just about a marathon. So you marathon runners, you pray for the spirit of Elijah to come on you So you can do this. You might not need to run a marathon, but you might need to stand in faith for your family. Or you might need to stand in faith for your business to turn around. Or you might need to stand in faith to be able to minister to folks that are away from God. Bold faith will cause God to move on you supernaturally and enable you to do supernaturally what you could not do in your ability. In your natural ability. And you'll come out on the other side of that and you'll look back and you'll say, I don't know how I got through that. Well, it was God's power because you stepped out in faith. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Now, if Elijah can do it, you can do it. Yes. So, well, I'm not Elijah. I'm not a prophet. Well, listen to what James said in James 5, verse 16. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. James said, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Amen. Elijah, look at verse 17. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet, when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. The next verse says, he prayed again. And the rain came. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Praise God. So Elijah was as human as we are. He was just a man. If Elijah, now you and I might not stand in the office of prophet. We might not be called to turn a whole nation back to God by ourselves, but we can influence people. Amen. And God wants us to step out in bold faith. To receive the things He's promised you and to cause you to be a light and an influence in your world, in your sphere of influence. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Peter and John had bold faith. We read about that in Acts chapter 3 as they were going into the temple. Acts 3 verse 6, it says, as they're going into the temple, they encountered the lame man. Remember that story? There was a man that was lame from birth. He had never walked. Now think about this. Even Jesus didn't heal this man. Now, it wasn't because Jesus refused to heal him, and it wasn't because Jesus couldn't heal him, but for some reason or other, circumstances prevented their paths from crossing. Circumstances in the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry had prevented Jesus either from seeing this man or this man from getting to Jesus. So here's he's lame from birth. He's well known. He's the cripple that was laid outside the gate that you go through to go into the temple. So everybody goes through that gate that's going to the temple. This man is well known. Bible says later it was a notable miracle that had taken place. And so Peter and John come up on this man, and he's asking them for alms. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. Bold faith knows it has something to give. Hallelujah. If you step out in bold faith, you know you've got something from God to give to people. Amen? He said, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Bold faith will do that. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up. Now notice, he didn't say, let's see if this will work. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Do you feel anything? No, he said, what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he lifted him up before the man felt anything. And it was after he lifted him up, the Bible says, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Hello? Amen. And so he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. That was a result of bold faith. That was a result of Peter and John stepping out with bold faith. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. Paul and Silas had bold faith when they were locked in prison. In Acts 16, 22, we read about that. They'd been beaten. They'd been thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. Let's read verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods for preaching the gospel. Next verse. And when they'd laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So they're beaten, they've been put in prison. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. That's the hold. and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So they're not letting anything deter them. They've been beaten. They've had their clothes tore off of them, beaten, put in prison simply for preaching the gospel. And do you think they're thinking, well, maybe we should back off. Maybe we should not. Maybe we should go at this another way. Maybe we shouldn't be so offensive in what we're doing. No, they had bold faith. And at midnight, they're praying and singing praises to God. Hallelujah. They weren't complaining. They weren't singing, woe is us. They weren't saying, God, why'd you let this happen to us? In a tearful voice. They were praying bold prayers. They were singing praises to God. And they were doing it out loud. The other prisoners were listening to them. Bless our hearts. We're almost too afraid and ashamed to lift our voice and pray a prayer over our meal in a restaurant. Just do a headache prayer. I don't want anybody to know I'm praying. Maybe they'll just think I have a headache. Come on. Amen. I'm not saying make a show, but let's not be ashamed of the Lord. Amen. Their bold faith, you know what happened? Their bold faith brought God's power on the scene. An earthquake came, broke their chains, and His saving power came to the jailer and all his household. Amen. I want to close with this morning, Matthew 15. I believe we are going to make it after all. Hallelujah. Matthew 15, 21, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, how many of you would still have been around? Most of us would have gotten in a huff. Well, I never. I can't believe he's talking to me like that. And turned around and walked off. Wouldn't we? Can you? Jesus called her a dog. First, he didn't answer a word. She said, my daughter is demon possessed. Please help me. So when he finally did speak, he said, well, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know, he was telling the truth at that time. In that 3.5-year period of Jesus' earthly ministry, he was sent to the Jews. Amen. He had not yet gone to the cross, shed his blood, died, been raised from the dead. After that point, he became Savior of the world. But up until that time, he was sent to the Jews. So this woman was really asking for something that was over in that next realm, that next age, that next era. But you know, God likes it when people reach forward into that. You know what she knew? This woman had bold faith. She knew that Jesus was her answer. And she wasn't willing to take no for an answer. Bold faith is not willing to take no for an answer. And as we said earlier, bold faith is persistent faith. And she didn't accept the idea that it wasn't for her. Well, it might not be God's will for you. Bold faith rejects that idea. Bold faith says, if God will do it for one, He'll do it for me. Amen. Are you out there? You need to get that. Yes. Hallelujah. If God will bless one, He'll bless me. If God will do it for one, He'll do it for me. If God will heal one, He'll heal me. If God will deliver one, He'll deliver me. Amen. Hallelujah. That woman somehow intuitively knew that on the inside of her. Hallelujah. And she was persistent. Now, was Jesus trying to insult the woman? No, you know that's not the heart of God. Jesus was not trying to insult her. Jesus was actually working with her. Jesus was actually trying to get her in a position where she would claim her right. Because that's what bold faith does. Bold faith claims its rights. Bold faith knows what its rights are and claims them. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So when he made that statement, she got a revelation. He said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Verse 27, a revelation hit her and she replied. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. If I'm a dog, if she what was she asking for? She was asking for healing and deliverance for her daughter. Jesus said, healing and deliverance is the children's bread. She said, it may be, and you may be calling me a dog, but I'm a dog at the master's table. I know where I belong. I know where I get my help and my blessing. I'm hanging around this table, and all I need is a crumb. Hallelujah. The dogs have a right to the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I've got a right. Glory to God. She figured out a way where she could claim it. She figured out a way where, yes, I do qualify. This does belong to me. And Jesus was trying to help her get there. She said, even the dogs get the little crumbs. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Hallelujah. She had bold faith. Bold faith claims what belongs to it. Hallelujah. You know you have to claim what God's promised you. It won't, Brother Hagin, you say it will not fall on you like ripe cherries falling off a tree. Amen. It's time for you and me to rise up and be bold in faith, beloved. It's time for you to rise up and be bold in faith and receive the things that God has promised you, the things that God has spoken to you, that sound of abundance that you hear in your heart. God wants to do that. God wants to bring that to pass in your life. The things He's spoken to you about your life, about your family, about your situation, those wonderful, great things that He wants to do. It's time for you to rise up in bold faith and claim it. And say, it's mine. I'm not going to have anything else. I'm not going to be denied. It's time for us to rise up and be bold in faith, not only for our benefit, but so those people around us in our sphere of influence can see that God is God. Hallelujah. If believers would rise up and be bold in faith, we will see that awakening that we're crying out to God for. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take us stepping out and living in bold faith. Amen. Glory to God. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. Father.